Good to see everybody out this morning. We invite to those who are visiting with us to please open up your Bibles. Please study right along with us. We try to teach things in accordance to God's Word as He has given it to us. And we try to do what's right. We try to teach the truth. There are CDs, bulletins, there are tracts back there. Please feel free to use them. They're free of charge. There's a website that we can go to, truthandright.org. There's over 600 lessons on there and bulletins, and you can check them out to study. If you would, turn with me to Hosea, fourth chapter, and begin in verse 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me. Since thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me, therefore I will change their glory into shame. The fact is, we use knowledge in our everyday life. That should be everybody's ambition in trying to increase their knowledge. It's good to go to school, try to learn the things we need to know about this life and to provide our living. Also the fact that it's nice to know about other things. People make comments about me when I buy 5 papers. And I'll check out through them and they say, "Boy, you do a lot of reading." I said, "Yeah, but I only believe half of what I read." But it's the point. Is I try to learn. I try to study as much as I can. When I have the opportunity at home, especially when I'm on midnight or daylight, I try to hop on the computer and try to check what other congregations, what other brethren are teaching, and maybe get a more comprehensive study upon maybe what I've been studying upon, trying to get more knowledge. But you also got to compare it to the things that God has set forth. And we need to understand that. We cannot do without the will of God. And we got to understand that. And turn with me to 2 Peter, the first chapter. And beginning with verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. We need to understand that without getting the knowledge of God, we can't escape the things that are around about us in our everyday life. As we're getting ready to study into the book of Job, and we try to understand why men suffer sometimes upon this earth, as we do, we find out what God has planned for all mankind. The fact that we cannot do without the lack of knowledge. Also in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." We cannot be led away if we're continuing trying to do God's will. In 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, verse 10, "Wherefore, if the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall." What is Peter trying to get across? What is he saying to all mankind? The more that we know God and His knowledge, the more that we know what God's will is, it's less chance, less opportunity to fall into to temptation. I'm going to get to spit it out. We won't sin. If we keep the knowledge of God at our bonds at all times. If we study, we find out what God truly wants us to do, how He wants us to act upon the face of this earth. One way to overcome and anger is to find out what God teaches about it. And the more you study and draw upon His words about that, we control our anger, our lust for life, the lust after things, material things. If we know God's will, we study it as we should, we will understand and try to avoid and keep our mind where it needs to be. If you turn with me to the book of Colossians, the first chapter, and begin in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we've heard it, do not cease to pray for you, desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, and all His wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We got to understand that as we study God's will, we won't know it all. That's why we got to study. That's why we got to sit down and read and dwell upon the words of God. And the more that you do this, the more you'll find out that you lack, and the more you want to study. If you pick out a topic that you have a great desire, say you like to work on automobiles, and you study the books and try to prepare yourself on working that automobile, you try to find out as much as you can, do you not? This is the way it works with God's Word. I found out when I was trying to do locator work down at Powhatan in Brunswick that the more you study, the more questions you have, and the more you want to study to answer those questions. And if you study those questions and try to find the answer, there's still more. There's never a stop. There's never an end to it. There's so much knowledge that is there within God's Word. I've known men that taught the gospel for 40, 50 years. I said they'd never grasped all of it. They're still learning. When you do a job, now, when I used to work at Banner, I always made a statement, if I didn't learn something new every week, I wasn't doing my job. And the fact is that you end up with some problems that you never dealt with. And I had a foreman down there that spent 20 years on the machine, and he stood there and scratched his head and couldn't figure it out himself. Never seen anything like it. And we would have to put our minds together and try to come up with a solution to get the machine to run properly, to get out the product that is needed. And I'm learning that with the job I'm at now. That there are so many things you have to learn, need to get along. And that's the way it is with God's Word. And the fact that if we learn God's Word as we should, we will never be led away. The fact is, God tried to teach the nation of Israel His law. And we need to understand that even though they tried to learn, they sometimes forgot what they were taught. In Genesis 18th chapter, and beginning with verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know that he will command his children, his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Those things were taught to Abraham so that he could teach his children. He knew that he would tell them what God expected out of them. Also, within the Mosaic Law, if we turn to the book of Galatians, the third chapter, again we see the writer, as they wrote to the church of Galatia, that they were to learn from these things. In chapter 3 of Galatians, in verse 23 and 24, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which shall afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, if the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ, that we may be justified by faith. That's the reason why we study the Old Testament. It's to find out and learn the things that God has taught to them. He can be a loving God, but he can be a just God at the same time. You do his will, he'll protect you. He'll guide you. He'll take care of you. He'll give you the things that you need to live upon the face of this earth. Prepare yourself for heaven. But if you deny him and you don't do his will, he will be a just God. And you'll end up in a condition that you wish you'd never been in. And we need to understand that. These things were taught. These things were given to us as a schoolmaster, so we know how God is. Parents did not train properly at this problem. In Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Oh yeah, we have problems with our children at times. I'll be one of the first ones to admit that we taught our boys how to act, behave. They're not in the church as of yet. But at the same time, if you asked them a question, they knew what to do. They brought it up to my attention. They asked me a few questions. And I've heard them talk to others, telling them what they need to be doing to be righteous in the sight of God. They know. They've been taught. And hopefully one of these days, Lord willing, they'll come and do the right thing. They'll hopefully be repentant of their sins and do what God wants them to do. The fact is, we need to train up our children properly. But because of the lack of knowledge, they did not, and they were destroyed. They had hot idols in their home. Judges, the 6th chapter, verse 25. Now it came to pass in the same night, the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it. What kind of idols do you have? We spend too much time in front of the TV set, watching movies, watching TV shows. What other things do we have? Our hobbies. I'd rather be out on a softball field than to be at worship service. I told a joke one time about a priest. Went out, got some of the other ones to go out with him. They went out on the golf course and hit a hole in one. He's happy, jumping up and down. Got a hole in one. Very rare to get one. And the others looked at him and said, well, who can you tell? You're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be at church. Who could you tell? He thought about it. Who could he tell? Without getting in trouble. Without having a problem about it, see? And there are others that do things. and put things before God. It becomes an idol unto them. And we need to understand that we cannot do as Israel did. Again, turn with me to Hosea, the 4th chapter. And let's read verses 1 through 3. Families were too involved in affairs of life. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of the heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea shall also be taken away. Yet let no man strive or reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priests. They were having controversy. They were involving themselves in things of the world instead of trying to be involved in God as they should. And they put before God's word everything else. Their job, their school, social pleasures. And we do the same things at times in our life. And we need to correct those things. We need to put a stop to it, or we'll be like the tribe of Israel at this time. They were bad shepherds. Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. And beginning with verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel, that they do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe ye with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which is sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty you have ruled them, that they were scattered, and because there is no shepherd, because they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains, upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of this earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not my flock. Therefore, ye O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because I am against the shepherds, I will require my flock at their hand, cause them to cease after feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. I will deliver my flock from their mouth, and they may not be meat for them. Excuse me. The fact is, when we talk about being bad shepherds, they were ones that were not guiding the flock as they should have, taking care of it. God was disappointed with them. The flock here is Israel. The shepherds were the priests and the Levites that were supposed to be teaching them the law, guiding them the way that they are supposed to, trying to get them to understand what God's law was. And sometimes this happens today within the church. When you got elders that are not doing things in accordance to God's word, mislead the flock, lead them to eternal damnation. That's why we got to pray for the elders. That's why we got to stand back and try to check the things that they do is in accordance to God's Word. They do make mistakes. They're just man as we are. But when they're standing up for what's right, you hold your hands up. And you support them. You give them all the backing that you can in trying to do what's right. Israel lost the book of the law. King Josiah found it during his reign. The fact is, they asked Josiah to have that law read to them. And they wept, they cried, they rented their clothes, they repented of the things they had done. They realized they were destroyed because they were rejecting God's knowledge. Because you rejected the knowledge of God. All Israel had knowledge. But because of their lack of faith in God, or trust in God's way, they sinned. They did things contrary to the will of God. They got caught up in idolatry. Their feelings, their emotions took over. How often do you hear people today, well, I feel that this is right. I feel that is right. We can't go by emotion. We cannot go by feelings. We go by what God has told us and taught us to do. And we got to think, we got to do that. They got an I think so philosophy. A lot of these kings that took over Israel, the northern and the southern tribes, put their think so's in. They thought, well, let's build this idol, that way we cover all areas. We'll worship this God to make peace with this nation. I don't think God would be upset about it. Men's doctrine, creed, traditions. Some people are more loyal to their friends than they are to God. Growing up, when we had company, my dad and mom would look at him and say, would you like to go to church services? If not, you can stay here. If we're gone, and we'll be back. It'll probably be a couple hours. You can wait for us. Do that today? How many people make those type of statements? Or do we stay home because we have somebody we haven't seen for a while? We get involved in worldliness. The fact is, we need to understand we have been destroyed because, again, we've forgotten the law of our God. In Hosea, the second chapter, verse 13, I will punish her for the days of the Baals to which she burned incense. She decked herself with her earrings and jewelry, went after her lovers. But me, she forgot, saith the Lord. Hosea, the 8th chapter, verse 14. For Israel hath forgotten his Maker, and hath built temples. Judah also hath multiplied fortified cities. But I will send fire upon his cities, and shall devour his palaces. They forgot God. They had the knowledge right there before them, but they forgot him. And a lot of times in our daily lives, we get so involved in the things around about us, we forget about God. And that's when we commit our sin. That's when we fall. There's various ways that we can forget God's Word, His way. And this happens because we cease to read it, study it, and meditate upon it as we should. Because of lack of study. In 2 Timothy, 2 chapter, in verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a work who does not need to be ashamed, rightly divided in the word of truth. How well do you know it? How often do you study the Bible? How often do you pick it up and read it? As I mentioned before, a young man said, well, I read the Bible 4 or 5 times, straight through. My comment was, study it. Don't read it. Study it. You meditate upon those verses that you're reading. Take your time. Go through what those words have to say. How does it affect me? How does it affect my life? I'm putting it to use. The book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need to one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such to have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Study. We need to grow. We need to mature. Just like that little child that is taking milk. And you gradually feed him maybe a little bit of mashed potatoes. And then you grow a little bit more. And the type of food that they eat. It takes time. But you teach them. You work with them. And we fail to do that as Christians at times. We don't put it to use as we ought to within our daily life because we don't study it as we ought. We can't teach. We don't know what they're talking about in Bible study at times. What? I don't understand it. Why? We don't use it. Sometimes we just willingly put it out of our mind. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, says, for this they willfully forget. What? Willfully forget. Why? It's for your convenience. So you can do what you want to do. Because you know what God's wanting you to do, and you know you'll be sinning if you get involved in it. So you think, if I forget about it, I can use that as an excuse before God. Let us not be guilty of lack of knowledge. There's no reason for it. We have many avenues to study God's Word. Every one of us have probably at least 2 or 3 Bibles within our home. Pick it up, use it. Don't let it sit on the coffee table and get dust on it. I know I got 4 or 5 I've worn out and the pages are falling out, and I buy another one to replace it. If you need one, I'll give you one. My dad, when he passed away, my sister gathered up all his books and gave them to me. I know he had 4 or 5. Pages were torn and starting to fall out. from use. There's no reason for a lack of knowledge. Let's not be guilty of rejecting that knowledge. You know why we don't study sometimes? We don't want to see ourselves in that book. That's why. It's like looking into a mirror. You ever get up early in the morning sometimes, scare yourself when you walk in and look in the mirror? Well, that's prideful. Well, that's the way we look when we try to compare ourselves to Scriptures, to God's will. We look scary sometimes because we know that we don't look the proper way. We need to correct some of the things we do. And let's not be guilty of forgetting knowledge of God. And I made that mistake. Coming back from Florida College after trying to study down there for a year, I didn't realize how much I picked up until I started speaking. And got to a point where I had to really cut down my lessons because I had so much material coming to my mind freely. I was thinking about it, just verses that tied in together. And it came so freely to my mind because of the study we've had. Done that for years. Got to the point where I could just write two words and a couple of scriptures and maybe have eight words total for a lesson. And could speak 45 to minutes to an hour. I had no difficulty. Sometimes I had to split that up. But I made a mistake. When my mom took sick and was dying, had some individual say things to me that was uncalled for, I got upset, let my emotions run, and I quit. I quit. Out of church for 13 years. You know, I can't remember a lot of that material anymore because I quit studying. I didn't apply it. I knew what I needed to do. Finally, one day I woke up. Knew what I had to do. Repented of it. And been trying to get that knowledge back. Because you're getting a little older. You don't keep it in as often or like you'd like to. But you try to keep increasing. Don't forget it. Don't leave it. Because you'll pay for it one of these days. Believe me. I wondered a lot of times if I kept in the church as I should have and never left, how much more knowledge I would have been farther ahead on at this point. How much more growth would I have had? Now I'm just trying to regain what I lost. How do you stand? Israel, they had the knowledge of God. They knew what God wanted. They obeyed it at times. But they also had generations that just didn't care. And the only time they ever thought about God is when they had times of trouble and oppression. Then they remembered God. Then they would find out what His knowledge was and try to turn back to Him. I'm pleading with you this morning. Don't be like Israel. Don't be like I did. Don't make the same mistake. Because the only way you can get to heaven is by doing what God wants us to do. How do you stand? Sometimes we get that idea, once saved, always saved. It's a false doctrine. I think sometimes we as Christians believe that statement. If we act that way, we get the opinion that we're saved, we got it made. I became a Christian. I'm in. My card is punched. I'm heading for heaven. Nothing's going to stop me. That's a false doctrine. You can lose your soul. You can leave God. And that's what we're pleading with you today. Just like Israel, when they left their God, they were punished. And we'll be punished. But the punishment we receive is an everlasting punishment. Eternal damnation. That's where it falls. We get this idea that we don't sin, we do. Every day of our lives we sin before God. And the question is, I've known brethren who've been in the church for 40, 50 years. You never ever once see them up in the front seat. I know there's good individuals out there. But you can't tell me in those 40, 50 years that they haven't done something that they didn't need to be repentant for. Don, I'm trying to get across this. We need to have an open heart. We need to have a sincere heart. And we need to think about what we're doing in our everyday life. I give praise to the individuals that I see on the front seat a lot of times because their heart is sincere. It's an honest heart. Yeah, we have comments about it. But I'm telling you what God's Word has to say about it. They're sincere. They're honest. They're trying to do what's right. They're trying to be like Job. If we studied this morning, that he offered burnt offerings for his children. Just in case they might have sinned. That's the way we ought to be. And that's the question I'm presenting to you this morning. How do you stand before God? Are you ready for the judgment day? It's coming. We may die before we go home. I can't tell you. I've seen a lot of individuals within the paper here lately that I knew. 45, 46, 50s. I'm 58. A few of them I knew. Never known they were sick. One day they're here, next day they're not. Had a man tell me down there at work just Friday that when he was working there a few years ago before I got down there, man went to the restroom. Died right there. Nobody knew it until they walked in. Couldn't figure out where he disappeared to. Laying on the floor. Dead. Heart attack. He didn't know. He's gone. Just happened. Car accident. I don't care how careful you try to be. You always watch the other guy. But something always can happen, take place. I've seen it. How do you stand before God? What are you going to do about it? If you're not a Christian, you must hear His word. You must believe that Christ came and lived on this earth, died upon that cross, was buried, so we could receive salvation. You must believe that. You must repent. Be willing to change your life, live for God, stand for yourself. Confession. Let Him confess us before His Father. Be baptized. Buried with Him in a watery grave. Rose up, a new creature. We're white. We're pure. We're sinless at that point. But a lot of preachers leave out the final step. You have to live a faithful life unto death. And that's what we're talking about. Keeping that knowledge and using it and applying it till death. Maybe one here this morning that has done these things, brought reproach upon themselves, upon the church. Do something about it before it's too late. Because you'll be in eternal damnation too if you don't. Come on. We'll go to God in prayer on your behalf. The brother here will help support you in your weakness. We're here to help each other get there. We'll never make it alone. We need to learn that fact. We need to learn it now. It's your soul. It's your destiny. You do something about it before it's too late. If we stand and sing the song, Invitation.